has revealed his goodness, his love, his kindness, his plans and his promises. He interacts with his creation. It doesn't just make it and then stand far off, but he keeps intervening and helping and supporting and coming into relationship with his people and with his creation. And the Bible reveals a lot of that story, doesn't it? It tells us of God's relationship, of his interventions into mankind's, the life of mankind, how he helps, how he rescues, how he saves. And from that, thanksgiving and praise springs up. And this morning, our thanksgiving and praise is springing up because we know what God has done for us and what he's done in our lives. We know death is defeated, that he is alive. And so something in us is stirred up. But throughout the history of God's people, as you read through the Bible, we see examples of that responsiveness to God's help. A lot of those big events, like the Exodus, when God's people came out of Egypt, they came out of slavery. God rescued them out of slavery. But then they're stuck at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is bearing down on them with all his chariots and all his forces. And they think they're going to die. But God leads them, splits the Red Sea, leads them through. And when they get to the other end, what happens is a song of praise rises up from their hearts of thanksgiving to God for what he's done. Moses and the Israelites sing that song. And then a little bit later, we read Miriam sings that song. And just verses 1 to 3 of Exodus 15 say, "Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver, he's hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." And this pattern is just repeated again and again. When the temple was built, David commissioned that, but it was built under Solomon, King Solomon. There's heartfelt praise given to God for all the provision that had made that possible, for all of the help God had given to establish his presence in that powerful, clear, obvious, physical way through the temple. And that resulted in praise and thanksgiving from God's people that even brought in more of God's glorious presence. 2 Chronicles 5:13 to 14 says, "The trumpeters," and that we don't have any trumpeters, but we do have musicians. "The trumpeters and musicians joined in unison to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, the singers raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, 'He is good. His love endures forever.' Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests couldn't perform their services because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God." You know, when we make room for the Lord and when we stir our hearts up in a praiseful response to him, his presence comes, doesn't it? We experience more of his presence among us. You know, that praise was repeated when the temple was destroyed and then it was rebuilt. And there was grateful thanksgiving given. Some people were, this is in Ezra chapter 3, some of the people, they hadn't seen the former temple and they just gave thanks. They were just joyful. But those who'd seen the former temple and its glory, they wept. There was a grateful thanks that they had because they understood more of what had been and had been lost and then had been restored. And isn't that our experience and one of the reasons we give thanks? We know what had been lost to mankind through our sin. But then we know what's been restored by Jesus. And the more that we understand that, there can be a weeping mixed with our joy and our thankfulness. Because that gratefulness becomes so deep in our hearts. Not just a joyful, frothy thing on the surface, but something that's so heartfelt and deep within us. Let's just have a quick look at Psalm 107. It kind of unfolds this theme of thanking God for what he's done. It's an encouragement, this psalm, to respond to God's help in our lives in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, whatever various difficulties and problems we face. It starts like this, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north to south. See, every time God steps in to our lives, there's a story for us to tell. There's a testimony, isn't there, of God's goodness, of his faithfulness, of his love, of his intervention. That's a reason to give thanks to him. Every paragraph then of this psalm that follows describes people facing a different kind of difficulty, suffering in impossible situations where they're really stuck. And then they cry out to God. And then God responds. And then after he responds, there's this encouragement in the psalm because of his response to them, because of his help to give thanks. So verses 4 to 9 talk about people who are lost in a desert. They had no home, they had no food, they had no water. They were dying of starvation and thirst. Things couldn't get much worse than that. But God gave them a city to settle in. And he provided for them. So verses 8 to 9 said, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. And then the next paragraph is verses 10 to 16. There's prisoners. They're chained up. They're in darkness. They're slaves. They're subject to bitter service and slavery and hard labor. But they cry out to God. And then verses 14 to 16 says, he brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and he cuts through the bars of iron. And then the next paragraph is a different circumstance again. Those who were suffering, those who were sick, those who were dying because of their own sins, it tells us there. Because of their rebellion against God, they got themselves into a right mess. But when they turned back to God, he showed them mercy. He healed them and he rescued them from death. Verses 21 to 22, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice with thank offerings and tell of his work, with songs of joy. Then verses 23 to 32, those who went out in ships onto the ocean were in danger because of terrible, violent storms. Their courage melted away. They were at wit's end. And when they cried out to God, he stilled the storm so it became just like a whisper. He guided them to their desired havens. In verses 31 to 32, let them, guess what? Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt in him in the assembly of people and praise him in the council of the elders. And then at the end of the psalm, verses 33 to 42, it talks about God's justice and his discipline. He dries up the resources of the wicked. He provides for those who are in need. And the psalmist says, the good and the upright rejoice when they see God do that. When they see God act in this wonderful way, providing for the needy and lifting them up. Verse 42, the upright see this and they rejoice. But all the wicked shut their mouths. And the last verse, verse 43, says, think about it. Consider all of this. Think about it. And think about your own response to God's goodness and his love in your own life. Verse 43 says, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. I wonder what God has done for you. How when you've been in a mess, you've cried out to God and he's intervened. He's helped. He's set you free. Are you grateful for that? Do you tell your story? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so or tell their story. And do you express your thankfulness and your gratitude for those interventions of God in your life? Let's read about some of the things God has done for us through Jesus Christ. If you can't think of any other thing God's done for you, here's some solid bedrock. So if you have a reading from Ephesians 1, reading from 2 Corinthians 4, and reading from Revelation 11, would you come up to read, please? It's Ephesians 1 first. Yeah, go after Nathaniel.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom and understanding.
Thank you.
2 Corinthians 4:15. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God.
Revelations 11-17. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.
Well done. Thank you. So three little readings there. I think they all did really well. I don't want to patronize the two older ones. you did well too. so the first reading is about this is what Jesus has done for us. He's saved us. He's forgiven us through his death on the cross, through his blood shed for us. And then the second reading was, you know, that's not just something that we've received personally, but it's something that's spreading. This grace through the message of the gospel is spreading through all of the world. And that's a reason to give thanks. And then the final reading in Revelation 11:17 talks about, you know, Jesus has begun to reign and his kingdom is coming. His kingdom is advancing. His kingdom is growing and will eventually fill the earth, will be complete. He'll reign completely. So it's a looking forward as well as the gospel changes lives, as God saves us and saves others. You know, this is a reason for our thanksgiving, is that this is happening. Paul was always so thankful for those who'd come to Christ, those who'd come to faith. That was one of the biggest things he gave thanks for, was other people coming to know the Lord. And isn't it wonderful to know that the gospel is advancing through the earth, that people are being saved every day around the world. I've got a tiny little video for you that's very sweet, that helps us just reflect on 2 Corinthians 9:15. Which is a very short verse, which says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, and in that just very short phrase is this realization that Jesus is an indescribable gift to us. An indescribable gift. And I wonder how we respond to that, how we receive that gift. So I want you to watch how this little gift is received in this video. And just think, you know, is my response anything like that to God for his gift to me?
I have something for you.
What is it?
Open it. I get to open it. Something very special. Pull on this right here. Pull this. Pull this one, yeah. What are you gonna do with it?